when little children are playing outside, every parent knows that you have to keep an eye on them. A toddler just doesn't have enough experience in life to know how to avoid oncoming cars, sharp objects, biting dogs, or the deep end of swimming pools. They're just too young to understand accidents or injury, much less even the possibility of death. And in these crazy, dangerous days, school children also have to be taught the perennial parental warning, keep away from strangers. They also have to be taught not to play with loaded guns and not to skate on thin ice. Teenagers as well can sometimes live heedlessly. They can take terrible risks with their young lives because they imagine themselves to be basically invincible. They're young, they're agile, they're strong, they're quick, and they may have had no direct personal experience of the reality of death. Teens can sometimes almost presume they will live forever without ever knowing accident or injury. And so, reckless driving, promiscuous sex, using drugs, doesn't seem like that much of a threat to a young person's individual sense of well-being. So, all babies, some children, some teens, by definition, are a work in progress, emotionally immature, often unaware, unreflective, and sometimes living only in the moment. But it's not only the young who can live mindlessly. There are plenty of adults, even some among the elderly, who fundamentally never grew up. It is possible to live for an entire lifetime spiritually immature. It is possible to live in a dream world, as if bad stuff only happens to other people, as if personal choices had no consequences, as if Almighty God were rather like a benign Santa Claus, morally neutral, making no demands upon our lives, who smiles even in the face of immorality and deliberate sin. The scripture readings appointed for the last days of the old liturgical year and these first days of Advent are absolutely filled with warnings about the consequences of such foolish thinking. Their bracing message, almost like an insistent drumbeat, hammers home over and over again the same challenging warning. Life is always radically insecure. Time is always a limited treasure. Sickness and wars, trouble and disasters, even death itself are always a part of our shared human condition. So God's word challenges both young and old to stay awake and be alert. Watch and pray, because you do not know the time nor the hour when the Lord will suddenly break into our lives and demand an accounting of our actions. As Jesus teaches in today's gospel, some folks live as if they will never die, and if there will be no day of the Lord, no end of the world, no final judgment. Jesus reminds us of the days of Noah and the great flood. In those days, people were eating and drinking, making long-term plans, getting married, with no sense whatsoever of impending doom. They lived unconsciously in a kind of fantasy land where they imagined nothing would ever touch them. They thought there were no consequences for their sins, and they had no concern whatsoever about the judgment of Almighty God. Jesus warns us that the end of the world and the last judgment will happen suddenly and unexpectedly, as that great flood that once destroyed this world and reduced creation back to primordial chaos, and that the definitive end time, when regarding salvation or damnation, he tells us two men will be out in the field. One will be saved, and the other will be lost. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be saved, and the other will be lost. So he tells us, always be ready, awake, and alert. Like homeowners living in a dangerous neighborhood, you never know at what hour of the night a thief might break in. In the same way, in an instant, the Lord will appear to judge the living and the dead. As is also written in the second letter of Peter, the days of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Then with a roar, the skies will vanish. The elements will catch fire and melt away. Since everything is coming to an end like this, what holy and saintly lives you should be living while you await the day of the Lord. St. Paul has a similar message in today's second reading. It's a kind of reality therapy for all of us who presume that this passing world is eternal. The Holy Apostle declares, "Now is the hour to awake from sleep. The night is advanced and the day is at hand. Quickly be converted from drunkenness and promiscuity, from rivalries and jealousies. Stop worrying about the desires that finally do not matter." There's a kind of despair in slavery to sin, but there is hope and liberty in the light of the gospel. While there is still time, throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. While there is still time, we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the full message of Advent could not be more unlike the watered-down message of our popular culture regarding the Christmas season, because the Advent of Christ is not about gross materialism or superficial sentimentality. Advent celebrates three separate occasions when the Lord, in his great goodness, breaks into our human reality. The first of these comings was at his birth in Bethlehem, when the Lord appeared in poverty and meekness, and for the sake of our salvation was born in our human flesh. His second birth can take place at any moment of our own choosing, when Christ may be born in our hearts. Perhaps now, at this very Mass, we may welcome him with greater faith and more than ever before accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And the third birth will be at the end of time, when he will come again, not in poverty and weakness, but in great power and majesty to judge the living and the dead. We may ignore his first coming. We may choose to resist a second coming in our hearts. But all the universe and each one of us must submit to his final coming when he appears again in glory. On that day, Jesus will complete his great work of redemption and offer to God his Father a people he has judged to be worthy of heaven, worthy of the beatific vision of Almighty God. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. God will judge between the nations and impose terms on all the peoples of the earth. So, this season of the year should be all about our conversion, about our change of heart, about our growing maturity in faith. That is why Advent is an excellent time to go to confession. We are all sinners, and from time to time we have all been spiritually immature. We all need the grace and mercy of God. Many centuries ago, St. Augustine wisely observed that knowledge of the grace of God is unintelligible without knowledge of our sins. And knowledge of our sins is unbearable without knowledge of the grace of God. Or as Pope Benedict once wisely wrote, a house has to be kept clean, or it will quickly deteriorate. So it is with our souls. They need regular house cleaning. I certainly plan to go to confession during this holy season, and I invite all of you to do the same. Advent is also a very good time to come to Mass more frequently, even if possible daily. With all our many chapels and churches here in Peoria, it's a pretty easy thing to do. The appointed scripture readings during the coming 4 weeks, especially those from the prophecy of Isaiah, are inspiring and so consoling. The lessons in God's Word challenge and instruct. They also clarify our vision and deepen our longing for God. The Advent readings heard during Mass shine like bright lights in an increasingly pagan world, so that we need no longer live with any fear of the darkness. The scriptures remind us of what Christmas is really all about. They ground us in the truth. They comfort us with lasting hope and promise. And most certainly, by more frequently receiving our Lord in the Eucharist, we also begin to know something of what heaven will be like, which eye has not seen, which ear has not heard, nor can it even be conceived by the mind of man. That surpassing hope should make a profound difference in the way we live every day in this passing world. And finally, as our Holy Father Pope Francis keeps reminding us, every member of the church is called by God to be a missionary. This is not just the responsibility of priests and religious. We all have a common Christian vocation to bring others to Jesus Christ. We might invite someone to come with us to Christmas Mass, and if the moment's right, dare to share with them the truth we know in Jesus. It might be a member of our own family. It might be a neighbor or a fellow worker. It might be someone who has fallen away, or even someone who has never known the Lord. And by our Christian joy, by our welcome and hospitality, by a kind word and a helping hand, we can help teach the true meaning of all the lights and decorations, of all the gatherings and gift givings that celebrate the birthday of Jesus. As the inspired psalmist once exalted, we shall go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. So now, more than ever before, may we let go of spiritual immaturity and put on Jesus. Jesus will fill our hearts with meaning and give us the very best reasons for celebration. Jesus will bring us closer to family and friends. Jesus will lead us into a paradise that knows no end. So on this first Sunday of Advent, and until the very end of time, Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, with growing expectation and hope, the Spirit and the Church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus.